Ted Cruz, a big night for Marco Rubio, and a big test for Donald Trump.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
People of Iowa have spoken. The results are now in. There he is, Ted Cruz, with his wife, Heidi. They are on the road. A big victory for him last evening in Iowa. Donald Trump came in second place. Marco Rubio hot on his heels. Meanwhile, you've got a virtual tie on the other side between Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders.
Tonight is a victory for the grassroots. Tonight is a victory for courageous conservatives across Iowa and all across this great nation.
We finished second, and I want to tell you something. I'm just honored. I'm really honored. We will go on to get the Republican nomination, and we will go on to easily beat Hillary or Bernie or whoever they throw up there.
Tonight here in Iowa, the people of this great state have sent a very clear message. After 7 years of Barack Obama, we are not waiting any longer to take our country back.
I am excited about really getting into the debate with Senator Sanders about the best way forward to fight for us and America.
Given the enormous crises facing our country, it is just too late for establishment politics and establishment economics.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
All right, so a big win for Senator Ted Cruz in the Iowa caucus. A big night for Marco Rubio, who outperformed by about 8 points, was what was expected on the polls. And a big test coming up for Donald Trump, because the polls had him up by 5-7 in Iowa, and he ended up, the poll shift was obviously significant, or the shift from the post-debate issues for him may well have been significant, and New Hampshire could well be, and Fan and I were talking about this before, his firewall. I mean, he is, and this is the question we're asking, is New Hampshire a must-win for Donald Trump? We'll take your calls and comments on all this, your expectations from last night, what you think it means. We'll also talk about the Democratic side, basically a statistical dead heat between Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. What does that mean going forward as well? We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. I know a lot of people want to get in the conversation early. 800-684-3110. We want to hear from you, how you expected your candidates to do that did last night, and how you expect that to play out coming up. Fan, your reaction first as to the overall situation. I said again, big night, a big win for Ted Cruz, big night for Marco Rubio, big test coming up for Donald Trump.
I think that's exactly right. Both Iowa and New Hampshire, Jay, are about investment and expectations. Both the senators last night exceeded expectations. Obviously, Senator Cruz had more invested than anyone in the state. He had high expectations. He outperformed by about 5 points. Then Senator Rubio, who sort of divided his expectations between Iowa and New Hampshire, he outperformed by about 8. But that slippage of about 4 points for Donald Trump, Jay, he came in with a big front, a big lead. That was significant. I do think New Hampshire becomes his firewall. He has a huge lead there, and we'll see if he can hold that firewall.
If you look at the polls right now in New Hampshire, Donald Trump up in the Real Clear Politics average 21%, but I expect that's going to change. The University of Mass poll, he's up 26. CNN, he's up 8. Boston Herald, 25. Suffolk University, 15. Emerson, 17. And ARG, which is an older poll now, up 14. So the Real Clear Politics average, he is up 21-7. So this is, look, it was a big night. Huge win for Ted Cruz. Big night for Marco Rubio. And then you ask yourself, does Donald Trump, is it a must-win for him? And I think it is. If he doesn't win New Hampshire, I think the Trump campaign is over. That's just, again, this is analysis, and we're going to give you how that plays out after the break. All right, phone lines are jammed, to say the least. Let me also say this. We are at 197,060 signatures for Sergeant Martland. So while we talk politics today, I don't want to forget about this Sergeant First Class, this Green Beret, who's being unjustly kicked out of the military. I want to get that to 200,000 for Fan and our team to work on it. We've got a military affairs team working on this. Go to ACLJ.org or call us at 877-989-2255. Stand firm for this U.S. soldier, this Green Beret, ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Take a stand for the military. Take a stand for Sergeant Martland, ACLJ.org. Back with more in a moment.
A bad situation just got worse for a Green Beret war hero who defended a child from sexual assault. The U.S. Army has been threatening to kick out Sergeant Charles Martland, and now a top Army command is recommending just that. In Afghanistan, children, young boys and girls, are being sexually abused, and Sergeant Martland said, quote, "We felt a moral obligation to act." For his action, he faces expulsion from the Army. There's still time before a final decision is made. The American Center for Law and Justice is working with Congress and urging the Secretary of Defense to stop this moral outrage and reinstate this brave Green Beret. The U.S. military has a moral obligation to stop child abuse on our bases and exonerate Sergeant Martland for defending a child from assault. Add your name to our petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or add your name online, aclj.org. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
By the way, that song, a little bit of the song you heard there is Freedom by Bread. We're going to be playing it. We have a live concert tonight on Facebook. The Jay Sekulow Band is called Undemocratic, the concert, and it's to celebrate the release of the book is today. Undemocratic has been released in bookstores around the country. Now, Amazon is saying right now if you order it, it's backordered for a couple of weeks. That's actually not correct. We were on the phone with the publisher this morning, and the fact is the 5,000 additional units have been shipped to Amazon. They're getting them today. So I encourage you, now it's not a pre-order anymore, go ahead and order the book. We're trying to get on as many of these bestsellers lists as we can. Wherever you buy books, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, wherever you buy them, the book is available, Undemocratic. It's the paperback edition. It's got a picture of me on the cover. It's got two new chapters. So even if you had the first Undemocratic, two chapters explaining what the Hillary Clinton emails scandal really is all about. So I encourage you to do that. We're going to also take your calls at 1-800-684-3110, talking about last night's event. As I said, let me give you my theme on this. Big win for Ted Cruz. Big night for Marco Rubio, exceeding expectations. Big test coming up for Donald Trump. So let's go to that first. New Hampshire notoriously rejects Iowa's pick. I mean, Than, that's kind of the history here.
Yeah, I mean, typically, Jay, a candidate will pick either Iowa or New Hampshire to make their stand, and that's why last night was so important for Ted Cruz, and obviously a few other candidates as well, Ben Carson, Rick Santorum, Mike Huckabee, they sort of made their stand in Iowa. In New Hampshire, you're going to have a stand from the governors. Also, Donald Trump, he also played in Iowa, as did Marco Rubio, but the difference being Marco Rubio exceeded expectations while Donald Trump fell out. So that's why New Hampshire becomes so important, because while it does usually go opposite of Iowa, typically a candidate has to overperform in one of those two states to remain viable. So that becomes Donald Trump's last chance to do that.
If Donald Trump loses New Hampshire, what happens to him?
Well, I think he's in real trouble. Yeah. I mean, right now, the polls in South Carolina have him up significantly, but let's just play your scenario out. If he loses in New Hampshire, Jay, it will mean he will have hemorrhaged more than 20 points in the polls over this final week. So then you add another couple weeks till South Carolina.
That's huge.
And the expectation would be that he would continue to trend that way.
Yeah, I tell you, I think it's do or die for Donald Trump in New Hampshire. And I think not only does he have to win, he has to win significantly to kind of stop the bleeding here. Now, the question is, the fight for second and third also becomes significant. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. But before we do, I want to point this out. We're friends with just about everybody that's running in this race. So there's been a lot of questions about something that happened with Ben Carson. And I studied the facts of this last night. Let me go ahead and take Linda's calling from Frisco, Texas. And I understand what Linda's asking is also being asked by a lot of folks on Periscope right now. Is that right, Will?
That's correct.
All right. Yeah, and Facebook. Okay, so Linda, go ahead with your question. You're representing a question a lot of people have right now.
Right. The Cruz campaign yesterday, before and during the Iowa caucuses, sent out texts, emails, and tweets saying that Ben Carson was dropping out of the race. My contention is that Carson lost votes, Cruz gained votes to surpass Trump. I felt that was despicable.
Well, let me give you exactly what happened. And by the way, Ben Carson came in at about 9%. So he finished fourth in the list. Here's what happened. For some reason, the Carson campaign let out that Ben was not going to go to New Hampshire or South Carolina for a few days, that he was going to go back to Florida and kind of regroup. They said get a fresh set of clothes. And that's not something you say when you're running a campaign for president of the United States, that you're not going to South Carolina or New Hampshire. Now, the problem is, it wasn't that the Cruz campaign sent out texts and emails. It was Steve King, who is a surrogate for the Cruz campaign, said, looks like Ben Carson's bowing out. So if you want to make your vote count, this is what you need to do. So, Than, that's what I picked up in that whole. So I watched that happen last night. CNN also said at one point they were expecting him to pull out because of that.
Yeah, you certainly don't want to make an accusation that someone's dropping out until it's official. But I will say, when I saw
the
news,
it, though. You got
when Ben Carson, when Ben Carson signaled that he was going to Florida and not New Hampshire, I mean, there in the political circle, Jay, there's only one way to read that tea leaf, and that is that he's probably planning to bow out. So I can understand why that conclusion was made.
Yeah. Also, by the way, of course, not surprising here. Pulling out of the race is Governor Mike Huckabee, and do you expect Rick Santorum next?
Well, he has said he's going to continue on, but Jay,
he got 1%.
Typical expectations would be that he should. He's a previous winner in Iowa. That's where he made his stand. He got 1%. There's no longer a path to the nomination.
I just don't see it. I don't see it there either. Hey, by the way, folks, again, we're talking politics today because obviously the Iowa caucus, but don't forget about the case of Sergeant Martland. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. We're about 3,000 away, it looks like. 3,000 away from breaking 200,000 signatures in support of this Sergeant First Class, who is also a Green Beret. Go to ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255 and have your voice count. I mean, let's back up this sergeant. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Irene is calling from New York City, New York. Hey, Irene.
Hi, guys. You know, Ted Cruz was a huge winner. I don't get that you're saying Marco Rubio is a winner. He came in third. I don't get this narrative.
Let me explain the narrative. So it's part of this is expectation. You know, we're not endorsing or opposing candidate for public office. I'm just giving you fact, Irene. Ted Cruz was was a big win for Ted Cruz. That's what I started it off with. Why? Because he won the Iowa caucus from what looked like an insurgent Trump and a resurging or a momentum-building Marco Rubio, and he held it off, and he won. So it's a big, big win for him. But Marco Rubio was polling at 15%, and Irene came in at 23. So he outperformed expectations at 8%, and fan expectations are a big part of this momentum.
No question about it. Both of the senators had a big night. Senator Cruz's is more obvious because he won and he exceeded expectations by about 5 points, but he poured a ton of money and a ton of time into Iowa. That was his firewall. This was not Marco Rubio's firewall, Jay. I mean, he invested in Iowa and he invested in New Hampshire, and then he outperformed by 8 points. So what that does is it gives him a big boost going into New Hampshire, going into South Carolina. Now, I think Senator Cruz's ticket is punched for March 1st and the SEC primary, but I think Marco Rubio's is pretty close to punched as well, and let's see what happens as he goes into New Hampshire. I suspect it will give him momentum, and I suspect he'll close that gap on Donald Trump.
So the question will be, and this is part speculation here, but then I think we need to speculate for our audience a little bit because you and I have been doing this a long time. So the reality that we've got is if Cruz comes in second in New Hampshire to Donald Trump, who's, let's say, is up by 8 to 10 points, and Rubio comes in third, say 14 points behind Donald Trump at that point, you know, three behind Cruz.
Right.
I think that makes it a tougher road for Marco.
Yeah, Senator Rubio
needs to... Not impossible, but tougher.
he needs to do better in New Hampshire. Again, and we said this before last night, that Senator Cruz is really the one that had a lot on the line in Iowa. Well, now it shifts to Donald Trump. He is the one that has the most on the line in New Hampshire. But I would say second most on the line is probably Marco Rubio. And then, Jay, also the governors. Remember, the governors didn't really play in Iowa. They're going to be trying to play in New Hampshire, and we'll see if one of them can break through.
They call it the governor's lane, and that's Christy Bush, and John Kasich. And one of those three, they may feel like if whoever wins that one may punch the ticket for South Carolina. But also it's a money issue, too, at that point. Let's go ahead, and Savannah's calling from Texas. She's watching on Facebook. Hi, Savannah.
Yes, hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I've been very appreciative of your work.
Thank you.
And I've been following for many years. I need to ask you this question.
Yeah.
It's been burning in my mind for a long time.
Okay.
We know that Ted Cruz was born in Calgary, Canada.
Right.
Now, his mother is American.
Yep.
His dad was born in Cuba.
Yep.
But I still cannot understand how Mr. Cruz can go and present himself as a candidate of the United States, not being born in the United States.
Because natural citizen doesn't necessarily mean born in the United States, because you have situations where members of the military are stationed overseas and they're born on military bases, sometimes not on a military base, sometimes in a local hospital, and they're considered natural-born citizens. Now, the Supreme Court hasn't definitively ruled, but Savannah, I do not think it's an issue at all regarding the constitutionality of Ted Cruz's ability. I'm not endorsing or opposing, but I don't think it impacts the constitutionality at all on this situation. I think Ted Cruz has the right to run for president of the United States and would not be disqualified because he's not a natural-born citizen. I think he is. All right, let me tell you what I'd like you to do, folks. The book is out today. The book is called Undemocratic, Rogue, Reckless, and Renegade. It's the paperback version. There are two new chapters. Those two new chapters deal with the whole Hillary Clinton email scandal. Now, the book's out today. So if you go to Barnes & Noble, wherever you buy books, you can buy it. Let me encourage you to do it. Buy the paperback. That's what's critical here. We want you to buy the paperback version. We're trying to get it on as many of the bestsellers lists as we possibly can. To do that, we need your help. Go to Amazon right now and order a copy. I think it's $9.78 or something, or $9.90, a little less than $10. On Amazon, and we'll check this, it's still saying, 2 weeks to delivery. We found out that was a mistake. There is, in fact, 5,000 being shipped to Amazon today, so they will fulfill this week. So let me encourage you again to get Undemocratic, the book, in paperback today. Go ahead and pre-order it. It's actually order it at Amazon. Barnes & Noble has them in stock as well. You can do it online. And tonight at 9 o'clock at night Eastern Time, Jay Sekulow Band, we're doing a live concert called Undemocratic, the Concert. You're going to want to not miss it. It'll be on Facebook and Periscope, so we encourage you to listen there. Back with more in just a moment.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. A bad situation just got worse for a Green Beret war hero who defended a child from sexual assault. The U.S. Army has been threatening to kick out Sergeant Charles Martland, and now a top Army command is recommending just that. In Afghanistan, children, young boys and girls, are being sexually abused, and Sergeant Martland said, quote, "We felt a moral obligation to act." For his action, he faces expulsion from the Army. There's still time before a final decision is made. The American Center for Law and Justice is working with Congress and urging the Secretary of Defense to stop this moral outrage and reinstate this brave Green Beret. The U.S. military has a moral obligation to stop child abuse on our bases and exonerate Sergeant Martland for defending a child from assault. Add your name to our petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast. Everyone taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Don't forget tonight, Undemocratic, the concert by the Jay Sekulow Band, live concert for an hour and a half, 9 o'clock Eastern time on Facebook and Periscope. We expect thousands to be participating, and we encourage you to do it, too. We're celebrating the release of the book. We've got a call coming in from a veteran, Don, calling from Palm Desert, California, on line 4. Hi, Don.
Good morning, guys.
Yes, sir.
Boy, listen, I want to thank you for keeping this up front. I know you're we're talking about elections this morning, but I thank you all for keeping this this up front. I'm so appalled.
You're talking about Sergeant Martland?
These generals, and I tell you, my general in my day, General Westmoreland, he would have been over there helping the guys stop this kind of immoral, stupid. There's no culture that accepts this kind of behavior. I don't even understand why we're talking about
it. That whole cultural norms argument, they're saying, you know, well, that's the culture in Afghanistan. The fact of the matter is it violated Afghanistan law. Okay, so the law in Afghanistan was violated. You can't sexually abuse a child, and it violates international treaties. But it is a question, Don, and you are a veteran, so I appreciate your service. It is a question of, you know, we've got to get the attention of the military leadership right now. Than, what's the latest on this? I'm going to talk to Duncan Hunter actually this afternoon, so I'll be able to report on that tomorrow. But what's the latest on this?
Well, that cultural norm excuse that Don used is actually one that's been parroted by our own government, and we have been telling them, listen, this is not a different way of eating or a different way of dressing. This is child abuse. It's a clear violation of a human right. So what we're doing, Jay, we are calling on members of Congress to put pressure on the Pentagon and the White House to intervene on this. And just wish one word of note, we are doing that on this end. We've also put up talking points at ACLJ.org. If any of you want to talk to your member of Congress or your senator, you can find those talking points on ACLJ.org, just so you know the facts of this case and you're prepared to make that call.
I don't know if we're going to do the interview with Duncan Hunter on Facebook today. I guess we could. We'll talk to our social media department. I'm going to interview him around 3:30 Central Time. So we'll keep everybody posted on that. If you want to support Sergeant Martland, we are about 3,000 away from hitting the number of 200,000. Go to ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Let me go ahead and take another call. We've got a lot of callers waiting here. Spencer's calling from Online 5. Hi, Spencer.
Jay, how you doing?
Good, sir.
I actually called in about Trump, but I was listening to the story about Martland. I'm actually a sergeant first class myself in the military. I've been in about 18 years.
Oh, great.
Makes me sick to my stomach to see.
Are you, you're still in service?
I am, sir, yeah.
Well, thank you for your service. Go ahead. Yeah. I sure want to hear your – give me your view on the Sergeant Martland thing. That's more important than the politics of the moment.
I'm honest with you. It makes me sick to my stomach to see the things that our military and our government used to stand up for people in this world, and to see the things that the laws that have been passed both in the international realm and the national realm regarding child abuse, and to see this guy stand up and do what's right, which is what's taught by the Army, and then to have this happen to him – I'll tell you, man, there's a lot of guys in the military talking a lot of things they probably shouldn't because of people who are doing things like this to soldiers.
Let me tell you, Spencer, what we're doing. So we've mobilized a military response team. We've got Skip Ash, senior counsel for the ACLJ, former colonel in the United States Army. He is working on this on the legal side. We have a senior military advisor to the ACLJ, former colonel, Colonel Wes Smith, also working on this, who actually served in the command for Human Resources Command, which is where a lot of this is originating out of. I think this is a bureaucratic disaster is what this is, and we are doing everything we can to fix it. But the fact of the matter is, Stan, we have getting attention to this, and I'm glad, Spencer, you called. Getting attention to this is not easy with all the politics going on right now.
Well, and it sure is helpful to have voices like Skip and Wes engaging, because what they've been able to do, Jay, is push back against the excuses that we're hearing about this is just a matter of chain of command or a matter of rules of engagement. And what Skip and Wes have been able to say, well, the chain of command can change the rules of engagement. If the rule of engagement currently is that you see child abuse and you don't stop it, then the chain of command has to change that rule of engagement.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Leanne's calling from Houston, Texas. Hi, Leanne.
Hi.
Yep.
Yes, I was just calling because I was listening earlier, and I agree with one of your callers, Irene, that was saying something about she didn't about the Marco Rubio getting so much of the attention when Cruz won, and I understand that he raised his numbers greatly and did a great job and all that, which I agree with. I think he did, but I think that the media is just it's like Marco Rubio won, and
well,
he didn't.
It's not. I don't think it's. You know, listen, I'm one to criticize the media, Leanne. You know that when I think they're wrong. Here's what happened. I think I said it exactly how it should be broadcast by every media outlet in the world. The big winner last night was Ted Cruz. Marco Rubio had a big night because he beat expectations. And Donald Trump has a really big test because if he doesn't win New Hampshire, I think his candidacy at that point is going to be difficult. Jim on Twitter just put up on Twitter, I don't know if it's Periscope or Twitter, Trump is the perfect man for the job and Trump will triumph in New Hampshire. Well, that's going to be the pitch, fan, but... And right now he's got big leads. I mean, Donald Trump has big leads in New Hampshire. I expect a lot of movement, though, in the next couple of days.
Yeah, well, he needs
Not
to do well in
he'll
New Hampshire.
Not that he'll lose, by the way, but I think big movement.
Yeah, he pretty much has to win. I mean, both the senators got what they needed out of Iowa last night. They both, you know, the delegates were only one apart, but essentially they both overperformed. Donald Trump needs to do well in New Hampshire. He's certainly still viable, but we will find out in New Hampshire if he can live up to expectations. And, you know, it's just reporting facts to report the fact that he didn't live up to expectations in Iowa. He really needs to in New Hampshire if he's going to go all the way.
Karen asked on Facebook, what about the Microsoft app? And apparently it worked. And they're re-verifying that with the manual counts, too, but it looks like everything worked. And it wasn't that close. Now, the close side we haven't even talked about, which we will in the next half hour, is the Hillary Clinton Bernie Sanders. What's your read on that one, Dan? I mean, they basically are dead even.
Well, it was so close last night that it actually came down to a series of coin flicks to determine who got the most delegates. Now, Secretary Clinton won the vote by a razor-thin margin. Senator Sanders is up in New Hampshire, Jay, so he could gain some momentum there. I still think that Secretary Clinton will be the eventual nominee unless something different happens and maybe you see another entrance into the race. But if it's these two, I think that Secretary Clinton got what she needed last night, barely, and will probably be the nominee.
All right, folks, we are here for another 30 minutes, and there are a lot of different ways you can view this broadcast right now. So you can do something as straightforward as go to ACLJ.org. You'll hear the audio stream. You can also go to ACLJ.org, and you're going to see a three-camera shoot. I mean, a professionally TV-done version of the broadcast right at ACLJ.org. So we're broadcasting that live. Also, if you're on Facebook and Periscope, of course, you continue to get the broadcast. And our friends listening on SiriusXM, you've got it as well. So multiple ways to get this one-hour-long broadcast. And coming up pretty soon, we think we're going to expand to an hour and a half. So that'll be making more announcements about that in the spring. But we're looking at expanding it out even at least a few days a week. To an hour and a half. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to close this segment of the broadcast out again. Support Sergeant Martland, ACLJ.org, or 1-877-989-2255. We'll get back into his case in great detail tomorrow. Also, we'll take your calls at 800-684-3110. You're getting an email from me today. Many of you got it yesterday. Undemocratic, our book is out today. This is an expanded edition paperback with two new chapters. Those two new chapters are the Hillary Clinton email scandal. And there's a lot of other information in here as well. So even if you have the first edition, you need to get the second edition to be educated on this. Wherever books are sold, you want to get the paperback edition. Amazon and Barnes & Noble have it as well. And you go to Amazon. It may say 2 weeks to delivery. Don't worry about that. It's coming right out this week. They've got more that were shipped today. So, again, Undemocratic, the book on paperback is out. Let me encourage you to get it. We want to get it on as many of the bestsellers lists as we possibly can. You can make that happen. Again, the way to do that is Amazon or Barnes & Noble, wherever you get your books. We'll be back with more, including your calls at 800-684-3110.
A bad situation just got worse for a Green Beret war hero who defended a child from sexual assault. The U.S. Army has been threatening to kick out Sergeant Charles Martland. The American Center for Law and Justice is working with Congress to stop this moral outrage and reinstate this brave Green Beret. The U.S. military has a moral obligation to stop child abuse on our bases. Add your name to our petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org. We'll be right back.
friends are putting up President Cruz. He had a good night. I think he was the big winner last night, was to Ted Cruz, no doubt about it. Big win for Ted Cruz. Big night for Marco Rubio. Way outperforming expectations on his end. Big night again. Big win for Ted Cruz. Beat Donald Trump back. Beat Marco Rubio's kind of momentum surge there. And a big test coming up for Donald Trump. And that's how I think, that's the way I analyze it, Than. It's a big test coming up in New Hampshire. And a big test for the governors as well.
I think that's absolutely correct, Jay. I mean, I think Senator Cruz punched his ticket to March 1st in the Super Tuesday. I think Marco Rubio came very close to doing the same. Donald Trump didn't do that yet. If he wants to punch his ticket to March 1st and out of February, I really think he has to win in New Hampshire. And then for the governors, Jay, they don't have to win New Hampshire, but they do have to show a lot better than they did in Iowa because, again, remember, New Hampshire is where they are trying to play, not so much in Iowa.
We're also talking about the situation with Sergeant Martin because even though we're talking politics, we want to also talk about the situation for that Sergeant First Class who's facing being thrown out of the military for intervening and trying to get a known child abuser stopped who was going on a U.S. base. He was an Afghan commander, and he's being kicked out of the military, and we want to fight back on that. Deborah's calling about Sergeant Martland's case on line six. Hi, Deborah.
Hi.
Yep. Go ahead, please.
Yes. I had two comments. The one on the Green Beret who is being charged for saving a child from a sexual attack, I think is just signs of the times. I mean, he did a righteous act and what was right and good in God's eyes. My other comment or question is to Jay, who he is leaning towards for president.
I appreciate you asking, Deborah. I appreciate you think that matters, but we don't endorse or oppose candidates for public office here. I know everybody that's running except Bernie Sanders. I know everybody else that's running. I know Hillary Clinton. I know all the Republican candidates, some better than others. But I know them all. I mean, they're all friends. A lot of them are friends of mine. But I'm not going to tell you where I'm leaning. We're just kind of laying out for you, Deborah, where we see the lineup right now. I think there's a big test coming up for Donald Trump in New Hampshire. Now, the numbers are he's way ahead. Will that continue? And we're going to find that out in the next week or so, that's for sure. Because a week from today, I think, will be a pruning time on the Republican side of this thing.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the polling average. I mean, he's over 33% in New Hampshire. And then Senator Cruz, Governor Kasich, Governor Bush, and Senator Rubio, and actually Governor Christie as well, are actually all polling decent in that 9 to 11 range. So all of them need a good showing in New Hampshire. Both of the senators, Senator Cruz and Senator Rubio, they're in pretty good shape after last night. All of the others need a little bit of help in New Hampshire.
So the Real Clear Politics average right now is Trump 33, followed by Cruz at 11.5, Kasich at 11.5, Bush at 10.3. So they're all statistically within the margin of error. Rubio 9.5 margin of error. Christie 6.5, Fiorina 3.5, Carson 3.2, Huckabee is out now, Santorum 0.3, and Rand Paul 3.0. So, yeah, it looks like there's going to be three tickets out, I think, of New Hampshire. There may be a governor's lane, but then I think it's three tickets out.
I think that's right, and I think both of the senators have probably – well, I shouldn't say that. Senator Cruz has punched his ticket. Senator Rubio is very close. I think Donald Trump only punches his with a win, and then one of the governors, you're right, in that fourth lane or maybe even the third lane, if Donald Trump falls, if they perform well, they would get a ticket out of New Hampshire.
Yeah, so you may have – I think it's fair. I think there could be a fourth – I think the governor's lane may be a viable lane for some between Bush, Kasich, and Christie. We're going to take more of your calls when we come back from the break at 1-800-684-3110. Again, don't forget, we're talking politics today. Let's not forget that Sergeant First Class, Charles Martland. Go to aclj.org or 877-989-2255. Let me also say this. Today, our book, Undemocratic, is officially released in bookstores around the country. It's the paperback edition, two new chapters. I encourage you to get it. We're doing a concert tonight called Undemocratic, the Concert. The Jay Sekulow Band will be performing live. The entire band is going to be with us. So you want to see that 9 o'clock on Facebook and Periscope. And we're going to ask you during that concert, you're not paying for a ticket, we're going to ask you to go order the book. If you order it on Amazon, it may say 2 weeks to delivery. Don't worry about that. New edition, new copies were shipped today, so they'll be able to fulfill them this week. So again, it's Undemocratic. We encourage you to get it. We'll be back with more of your comments. And again, you can get Undemocratic wherever books are sold. So that's the way to do that. And if you want to talk to us, 800-684-3110.
A bad bad situation just got worse for a Green Beret war hero who defended a child from sexual assault. The U.S. Army has been threatening to kick out Sergeant Charles Martland, and now a top Army command is recommending just that. In Afghanistan, children, young boys and girls, are being sexually abused, and Sergeant Martland said, quote, "We felt a moral obligation to act." For his action, he faces expulsion from the Army. There's still time before a final decision is made. The American Center for Law and Justice is working with Congress and urging the Secretary of Defense to stop this moral outrage and reinstate this brave Green Beret. The U.S. military has a moral obligation to stop child abuse on our bases and exonerate Sergeant Martland for defending a child from assault. Add your name to our petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or add your name online, aclj.org. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the broadcast. We've got a couple open lines for you. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let's go to LaDonna, who's calling from Tennessee. Hi, LaDonna, on line three. You're on the air.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, good.
Listen, I just wanted to just kind of encourage our listeners and even, you know, candidates and people out there, because to me, this has been one of the most exciting presidential election candidates, you know, I've seen in a long time. And people are trying to criticize each other and all that. But I just want to encourage our people to stand together. Don't just jump on a bandwagon and beat somebody up. Wait. Learn the facts. We have to stand together right now like never before to get the Democrats out of office and get our country.
And look, I mean, and the Democrats are in a very close race on the Democratic side. You got Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders neck and neck in New Hampshire. I suspect Bernie Sanders wins. Neck and neck in Iowa. I suspect Bernie Sanders win New Hampshire, but I also suspect Hillary Clinton fan wins in South Carolina.
Yeah, I think that's right. And if you think back 8 years ago, Jay, this exact moment is when we saw that Barack Obama was probably going to be the Democrat nominee, because at this point you thought that Hillary Clinton was the inevitable nominee, and then she lost in Iowa. In fact, she finished in third in Iowa, and Barack Obama ultimately took the nomination. So last night, I think it was very important that she did win in Iowa, even though it was just by a shade. But then it looks like Bernie Sanders is probably going to win in New Hampshire,
yep,
and Hillary Clinton is again the favorite in South Carolina. So there's an active race there.
Yeah, I think for Trump's, and I'm curious to see if Trump's folks are on Facebook or Periscope or even want to call in, how they're reacting to last night. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. Sure, I'd like to put your comments up there if you're a Trump supporter, what your reaction was to last night and what you think is going to happen in New Hampshire. All right, we're going to go right back to the phones. Tom's calling from Oceanside, California. Hi, Tom. Tom, you there?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
You're on the air.
I wanted to bring to mind what one of our most beloved presidents said about us being a shining city on the hill for all the world to see.
Yep.
And what he meant was that we had a moral imperative to lead the world in things that we believe in. And when you take a guy like Sergeant Markland,
yep,
and you try to put political correctness on him to make us popular with a culture. We're in there because there's a problem.
Right.
We're trying to lead those people to righteousness, you know. And that's our opportunity.
Well, Tom, we're with you. I mean, what's happening to Sergeant Martland is a bureaucratic disgrace. And I say a bureaucratic escape because that's how they're framing this, Than. Well, the bureaucracy, this is the quantitative management of the military as we downsize. But the fact of the matter is, here you've got a guy that all of his officers, all of his superiors said, we would serve with him. They let him reenlist when all this incident already happened. And now, years later, they're ruining his career. And that's what they're trying to do to this sergeant, ruin his career.
Yeah, Jay, the United States had the power in the region that this happened, and all of these excuses about chain of command and rules of engagement are basically calling for Sergeant Martland to look the other way when right. he saw that evil and not intervene for that child. And you want to talk about a bureaucracy. You talk about it in the book. Had he not intervened, Jay, he would be allowed to continue serving honorably. It is only because of the demerits that came out of that case that he's being kicked out of the Army.
I mean, it's despicable. What has happened to this guy? Now, we have written about it in Undemocratic. I mean, we talk about that when the bureaucracy takes over, this is what happens. But we've got to fight back, folks. So, again, we're talking politics today. But let me encourage you to go to ACLJ.org and sign that petition. We are just 3,000, just a little less than 3,000 short from hitting 200,000 signatures. And as we work with Congress, which is where we've got to get some action here, we can make a difference. But, again, let me say this. I'm going to be interviewing Duncan Hunter this afternoon. And, folks, we got to get congressional action here. We need your help. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Again, big win for Ted Cruz last night. Big night for Marco Rubio and a big test for Donald Trump. We're going to go to Rib, who's calling from Dallas, Texas. Rib, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Jay. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Good morning. After the election, can the new administration rehire the ethical generals and commanders who wouldn't serve under this current regime and thus fire the immoral commanders appointed by the current administration and then therefore reenlist Sergeant Martland?
Very difficult. I mean, if we get to that scenario where he is kicked out, getting him back in, and I will defer to our military experts, and we're working with two right now, but then we know from just the general bureaucracy, that is not where we want this to be going.
That level of specificity would be very difficult, Jay. What I would say is if you have a new commander-in-chief and a new secretary of defense and maybe a secretary of the Army underneath that, I think you can correct the larger problem of the rule of engagement to make sure it doesn't happen again. But again, we don't want it to get that to that case because if it does, we will have kicked out a very valuable soldier and one that we have a lot of investment in.
Yeah, I think that would be a real tragedy if that happened. All right, we're taking more calls at 800-684-3110. Haven't heard from any Trump people today. Interestingly, neither with comments. I'm not seeing all the comments, but not comments or phone calls. We're taking your calls, 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Nancy's calling from Arlington, Washington. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Jay.
Yep.
I just wanted to say, isn't there some way we can have a national same-day primary? I don't like the fact that Iowa and New Hampshire pick who I run.
I don't think you can because that's effectively another general election, and the system just cannot handle it. The ideas with the caucuses and the primaries of these candidates have to do retail politics. They have to engage local constituents, and that gives people a chance to see who they are. It is cumbersome. It's expensive. It's time-consuming. But a national primary would be, I think, then impossible.
Yeah, I mean, the parties could change their rules, but there's very, very compelling reasons why they haven't. I mean, in a general election, Jay, New Hampshire and Iowa don't see those candidates very much, but they do see them during the primary process. So, you know, this is purely my opinion, but my opinion is the blend between how the primaries work and how the general work actually works in the favor of voters because more voters get to see these candidates.
I think that's right. So, I mean, as much as the system's got issues, it's better than any other system I think we could actually put in place. All right, folks, here's what we're doing. And coming up in the next segment, I'm going to do a rapid-fire round. So we got phone lines open for you. Trump people, where are you? Not responding today. 1-800-684-3110. Jim on Twitter did. I read his already. 1-800-684-3110. And those of you that, how your candidates did, we want your comments on this. How do you think it's shaping up now? 1-800-684-3110. And what about Bernie Sanders tying Hillary Clinton? I mean, she wins by a hair. So 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. Wendy's calling from California. She's on line 6. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, Jay. Thank you for what you do.
Thanks.
I'm in California. I just called the members of the Congress that are on the Armed Service Committee.
Yes.
And none of them knew about it.
About Sergeant Martland.
Yeah, I know Hunter does, and I believe there was one more. I'll make that correction. The rest of them knew nothing.
Yeah, this is the problem. So, Wendy, I'm glad you called. What did they say when you spoke to them?
they said, we don't know anything about it. And I said, can I give you some notes? And they said, yes. And I said, we have till March 1st. They said, we'll get this right to him. But
yeah,
this is,
and we don't know if we have till March 1st. It could be over with tonight. I mean, it's moving quickly. But Than and Wendy, thank you for calling on this. This is the challenge.
Yeah, well, kudos to Wendy for calling. I will say the other one that probably knew something about it was the House Armed Services Chairman, Mac Thornberry, who's been active on this. But we have letters, Jay, going out to the chairman and ranking members of both of those committees, House and Senate side, to make sure that they're aware of it. But the other thing that we've done, very front page of ACLJ.org, the very lead story right now, it gives you the background of this case. It lets you sign this petition so that we can speak for you. And it also gives you the background. So if you want to call your members and make sure they know it, all in that same post, Jay, you can sign the petition, you can get the facts on the case, and you can get the number for your members and your senators to make sure we change that fact.
All right, we've got a Trump supporter calling. Aurella is calling from Riverside, California. You're on the air.
Yes, good morning.
Hi.
Hi. I am a refugee.
Yep.
I came here 30 years ago.
Yes, ma'am.
And I do support Trump. And I was wondering, how come he got in second place when he got a lot of crowd?
I tell you what I think happened. This is my perspective. I'll let Than comment, too. I think not showing up in that Fox News debate hurt him. And I think not doing traditional retail politics with precinct captains and chairs really hurt him. He went this other route. I think it was a gamble. Look, he did better than originally his expectations, but the expectations were after the polls came out that he was going to win. So I think that debate really hurt him.
I think you're right, Jay. So many people decided over the weekend. They do it in Iowa every single year. They decide at the end, and the last impression they had of Donald Trump was that he skipped a debate and that he hadn't knocked on their door. The people who had done those things, Senator Cruz and Senator Rubio, ended up taking votes from him, especially, by the way, I think, Senator Rubio. Senator Cruz got his ground game out. Senator Rubio took a lot of support from Donald Trump last night.
Yeah, he did. That's where it came out. It was a historic number, too, by the way, which they thought also was going to help Trump, and it ended up, I mean, he still came in second. I mean, nothing to sneeze at, but it was not. He's not the big winner. He's got a challenge ahead. All right, we've got another segment coming up. We're going to do a rapid-fire round. 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Undemocratic, the book in paperback, is out. Two new chapters dealing with the whole Hillary Clinton an email scandal. When you order the book, go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble. Even if they tell you it'll be a week or two until it's delivered, don't worry. They are coming out this week. They are all, they're getting restocked today. So the book, again, is Undemocratic, and we encourage you to order that wherever books are sold. Stand up for Sergeant Martland. You could do that also at ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Rapid fire round coming up.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. A bad situation just got worse for a Green Beret war hero who defended a child from sexual assault. The U.S. Army has been threatening to kick out Sergeant Charles Martland, and now a top Army command is recommending just that. In Afghanistan, children, young boys and girls, are being sexually abused. And Sergeant Martland said, quote, we felt a moral obligation to act. For his action, he faces expulsion from the Army. There's still time before a final decision is made. The American Center for Law and Justice is working with Congress and urging the Secretary of Defense to stop this moral outrage and reinstate this brave Green Beret. The U.S. military has a moral obligation to stop child abuse on our bases and exonerate Sergeant Martland for defending a child from assault. Add your name to our petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. This is our rapid-fire round. You know how it works. 1-800-684-3110. Take as many calls as we can in this segment of the broadcast. 800-684-3110. Alan is calling from Georgia. Hi, Alan.
I've got a comment on Sergeant Martland.
Sure.
As prior military myself, Sergeant Martland, if he put a stop to this on a U.S. military installation in Afghanistan, that is exactly the same as our consulates. That is U.S. soil. On foreign soil, so he was actually acting by U.S. law.
Well, I think he was in compliance with U.S. law and Afghan law. Here's what happened. The event did not take place on the base. The event took place in the town adjacent to the base, but this was a known Afghan commander who was based at that U.S. outpost. And the mother of the child and the child came onto the U.S. base, as they were allowed to do, was examined by a doctor who said this child has been sexually abused. And the Afghan commander acknowledged it, bragged about it, and said there's nothing you can do about it, at which point Sergeant Martland and his officer ejected him from that base and wanted him permanently banned. So, yes, they complied with, in our view, U.S. law. They complied with international norms. But that's why we're fighting for Sergeant Martland and trying to get attention to it. So, again, ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. We're going to go to Joan calling from Virginia on line 2. Hi, Joan.
Hi, Jay.
Hey.
I was just wondering, what can I do if, besides prayers? Is there anything I can do as an individual for the sergeant?
Yeah, we need you to.
Case?
Fan, let's talk about that. We're at 197,000 signatures. We need to get that over 200,000, and then we need individual phone calls made to the Armed Services Committee.
Yeah, the things that individuals can do are all in a very, in one specific location at the top of ACLJ.org. If you click on Take Action for Sergeant Martland, you will see the things that we want you to do. We want you to start by signing this petition as we send letters to both the White House and members of Congress on this. We also want you to call your member of Congress to make sure that they know about it. That's where we're really trying to change the ground game here. Make sure that his case gets elevated. So again, ACLJ.org, click on the story, Take Action for Sergeant Martland, and you'll see very specific steps on what to do.
Yeah, so very important, Joan, to take concrete action. We appreciate you calling in. We're going right back to the phones. Next caller up is Debbie calling from Kansas on line 5. Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Jay.
Yep.
Last Friday I called my congressmen and senators from Kansas, and they knew nothing about this either.
Yeah, so this is we've been saying this, so we're just getting confirmation that we have a real problem. And that is, we're not getting traction within Congress on this. Than is working very hard, but there's a lot of moving parts right now in the United States, and a lot of laws, a lot of issues. So, Than, let's lay out for everybody. And, Debbie, I appreciate you calling, and I appreciate you taking the time to do this. What do we need to do here? Because this is part of the problem, is getting the attention on this case. We need, a movement to start for this guy.
No question about it, Jay. We are changing the landscape here in Washington, D.C. Offices are becoming aware of this case, but we need all of our members to really mobilize in an overwhelming wave that makes sure that, in a sense, Jay, and I don't mean this in a negative way, but they need to be almost overwhelmed with the interest on this case so that they are compelled to take action. Because there's a temptation here to think about it on a 30,000-foot level and not worry about one sergeant. We have to change that so that they're forced into action.
So that's what we want, exactly and precisely what we want you to do. Again, if you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. If you want to stand with the sergeant, aclj.org. That's aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. So aclj.org or 877-989-2255. We are taking more of your calls. Lynn, a Trump supporter, is calling. We got another one. That's good. Lynn, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hi, Jay. Thank you for taking my call. Hey, I just want to say that this election in Iowa was just a hiccup for him. I think it's something that opened his eyes, and he knows what he needs to do. And I just want to let those evangelicals know that I am a born-again Christian, but we're not trying to hire a pastor at this point. We're looking for a businessman. The United States is a business, and we need a smart man. He has wisdom and knowledge, and he knows how to bring in the right people to get things taken care of. And he knows, he's smart enough to know that if, and spiritually, I feel God's going to take care of all the immoral here in the country.
Yeah, it was interesting. Ted Cruz was
his evangelical numbers were good, much bigger than I think people thought, right, Dan?
Yeah, the final number that I saw was that he won over Donald Trump by 12 percentage points over evangelicals, which is a very big number. And quite frankly, Jay, going in, I think Donald Trump and Ted Cruz were expected to pretty much split that.
But they walked away
winning by 12.
But, right? You know, Lynn, I want to what you said, look, I understand why people are supporting various candidates. What I'm trying to lay out, and someone just asked on Kathy on Facebook just asked, what about Dr. Carson? Well, Dr. Carson, you're talking about a friend of mine. I had back surgery at Johns Hopkins. His partner did it. His medical partner. So I'm very good friends with Ben Carson. He had a not great night, not horrible, but he was number four, and that's hard to win a general election. Or not. He needs a primary win, I think, for Ben Carson. He'd have to do something historic in South Carolina. That's my view, Than, for Ben Carson to have after this.
There was a tier of three in Iowa last night, and Ben Carson was outside it. And probably the thing that doubles his problem there, Jay, is, again, we've said this many times, but Iowa was a place where he was heavily invested. Among the early states, that was his best opportunity to win a primary or a caucus, and he didn't do it. You got to love the guy, but politically speaking, last night was tough for him.
9.3% in Iowa for Ben Carson. We're taking your calls in this last rapid-fire segment at 800-684-3110. I would love to do a rapid-fire segment where we just find out who you're voting for. We could do that. Who are you leaning towards now after one caucus? So if you want to call us, I'll stay after a few minutes. 1-800-684-3110. Put you on air. You could put it up in Facebook and in Periscope as well. 1-800-684-3110. Tammy is calling as well on line three. Hi, Tammy.
Hi. God bless you.
Yep.
And I am not a political scientist, and I'm just a woman, Christian woman, that is very concerned and disheartening of what I see in the White House and people that are running our country and what they're getting by with. If Clinton gets the ticket for the Democrats, can she be charged during that time and for what her...
The FBI has the right to, you know, bring an indictment if there's a crime. And the President of the United States is not over and above that. I suspect this matter is resolved one way or another before then. It'll be very interesting to see over the next several months what the Department of Justice does with, if there is a recommendation. When I was a government lawyer, this is the way it worked. You get a criminal reference letter. If the FBI agents think there's a case, they work with lawyers in putting a case together. I did that when I was with Treasury at the IRS. You put a case together, we send that criminal reference letter over to the Department of Justice. They make the determination whether they will indict. The FBI is doing exactly that process with their lawyers. We'll put together a criminal reference letter if there is evidence of a crime, and they will decide if they're going to indict. Now, when that happens, I don't know. I mean, that's kind of the great unknown here. We don't have that time frame nailed down. So, again, we'll see what happens on this. But Hillary Clinton barely won last night. Was it by a couple of coin toss and a couple of them, Than?
Yeah, that's right. Six of them. She won all six coin tosses to win the delegates. Tammy's not alone in her concern, Jay. An avowed socialist almost beat her in Iowa and is way ahead of her in New Hampshire.
Unbelievable. An avowed socialist. There you go. Undemocratic, the book, is out tonight. Rogue, Reckless, and Renegade, How the Government is Stealing Democracy One Agency at a Time. Two new chapters. These chapters, by the way, include the Hillary Clinton email scandal and that whole issue, as well as the IRS cases. So we want you to get it. Help us get it on as many bestsellers lists as we can. And that you could do that by going to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. It is out today. Let me say this also, though. If you go to Amazon, it may say 2 weeks to delivery. Ignore that. Go ahead and place the order. They'll be coming out this week, no problem. I'm going to take Ed, who's calling from Hawaii, very quickly. Ed, who are you for?
Cruz.
Ted Cruz. Well, he had a big night. I said it. He was the big winner. The big night also for Marco Rubio, and a big test coming up for Donald Trump. Again, if you want to help Sergeant Martland, it's easy to do at 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or aclj.org. And don't forget, Undemocratic, the book in paperback, is out. Back with more tomorrow.
Now you can make a difference. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ than right now. Declare your membership today. The ACLJ is dedicated to protecting your religious and your constitutional freedoms. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online at aclj.org.